logic seems odd to me as well. That's the way I interpret what you're just saying about the community class. It's like, we can't just use dorms and give students a room. We got to close those dorms. We'll save money. Yeah. Okay. My question was...
The plan is fundamentally to install the independent teaching in every building eventually. Because we are losing 40% of energy. By the time the heat comes from the heating plant to anyone in the room, we cannot afford with the energy cost as it is right now. We simply cannot afford
to rotate around and still the idea that we can't have students here in the dorm because it's too expensive to heat the places they stay. Is
it
not logical to
warm
me.
And clothes.
I wanted to respond to what you said about financial resiliency driving being the reason for the letters that faculty and staff receive. Financial resiliency has nothing to do with the letters the staff got. Financial resiliency is not a legal term that is in our
faculty with respect to the suspension, be rewritten. At the same time, a process should be put in place immediately. So that's one motion. The second motion is that we instruct the president of the college to act immediately with respect to communication with the Ohio Board of Regents, presenting our curriculum, which is still in place. It's a valid and viable curriculum. And the pledges by the alumni, cash and pledges, and the revenues from the annual fund, and tuition from next year's revenues, and ask the Ohio Board of Regents to lift the whatever they put on us in terms of accreditation. And I should mention the accreditation is given to the university, not to the college. And so Ohio Board of Regents is concerned about the credit and degrees, but accreditation is different. And so if we present that our document about the academic program, because that's the two things that the Ohio Board of Regents is concerned about, that it's a viable academic program and finances to deliver this program. And I think we have that in hand by the alumni pledges, by the annual fund that we can raise ourselves, and by the tuitions that come to the institution. This should, it's a resolution by ASEP asking you to act immediately upon this. The second resolution is that the college president should be instructed to act immediately to put in place the process for the recruitment of new students for next year, both transfer and new students, because the college has the facilities, the faculty, the curriculum, and the finances, given the additional revenues that Pat mentioned, that the new students will bring to the institution to actually accept new students. So there's three resolutions. You may not want to act upon these resolutions, but I think ASEL has a more legal, institutional responsibility
to advise the president.
To do something, to instruct the president, if the president
Advise the president.
Well, yes. Advice and so forth, and then if the president doesn't take the advice, I think the faculty should really think, ASEP should think other ways of being heard, because this is a very critical time. It's not advising the president on whether we should plant a tree to memorialize Hassan Nejad or not. This has to do with the survival of the institution, and we need to act. And if we don't act, we're going to kill this institution. Whether we know we are killing it or not, that's not the issue. We're going to kill it with our own very hands right now sitting around this table. So those three resolutions are before you. I would appreciate a second, not like the last.
A second.
Move the resolution at the time. One about the letters, contract letters that had to be revised to remove the date that everybody is fired. Should be normal contract letters, not that we are open, and then a plan in the same resolution for dealing with financial exigency of the institution. That's resolution number one. I mean, proposal number, motion number one.
Can I have a friendly amendment? Yeah. That the staff receive a letter rescinding the letter about their
faculty
suspension.
And
the,
but there are two different letters, I suppose, right?
Right.
And I don't know what the staff letters read, to be
it's
honest.
Just rescinding the fact that there's going to be suspension,
right,
and we will all be terminated.
And I have a friendly amendment that we immediately hire an admissions counselor and a director of financial.
But that would be with respect to recruitment of new students.
Yeah. Yeah.
Admission.
Yeah.
But we are dealing with the first resolution. Do you get the language?
No, Hassan, I'm going to have to get yours after.
No.
I want
that recorded as he speaks.
The resolution, the motion is Axel is instructing the president, not just advising, instructing the president, and it's not too bad of a word, to revise and rewrite the contract letters that went to the faculty and staff. I don't know the date, put the date in. Ending their employment with the college because of the suspension decision by the Board of Trustees.
Hassan, did you read that letter lately?
No.
That letter explicitly states because of the financial exigency.
Suspension. Well,
no.
Yeah, suspension due to
no.
financial exigency.
That
Anjay, please listen to me.
I'm listening to you.
If we had no suspension, just financial exigency, we wouldn't be getting those letters. We have a process in place to deal with financial exigency by eliminating programs or people or asking people to take a cut or asking people to take a leave. We would not fire everybody on June 30th with a collective dismissal of entire employment except for a few administrators. That was because of the suspension, not financial exigency.
That was the plan that was proposed, that was presented to Axel right after the meeting of the board within a 30 days due period.
May I disagree with you?
You may disagree with me.
I know you talked to Eric about that.
You may disagree with me, but this is the matter of
fact. This is it. All the faculty and the staff. We didn't have a plan.
That was fundamentally the measure that was taken at that time by the president of the college on the request of the Board of Trustees.
There's no process inside the institution at all.
And that was the extreme measure that has fundamentally came to place.
No less drastic measures were discussed or
whatever you say.
But let's not discuss history.
History is important. Now what you're saying is that these letters should be revised. I don't see any reason why, and I don't believe that anybody will revise those letters.
Ajay, your other word. I'm just making a motion. You know, the emotion has a right to make a motion.
It's been seconded.
Could I read this back?
Read it back.
You don't have to take it.
Of course I
won't.
Axel instructs the president to revise and rewrite contract letters that went to faculty and staff on whatever date,
right,
ending their employment with the college due to the decision of the Board of Trustees to suspend operations at Antioch College.
And immediately initiate a process with consultation with Axel to abate financial exigency. I understand financial exigency, believe me, but I also understand there's a difference between suspending the entire institution and dealing with financial exigency.
And immediately initiate a process with the consultation with Axel to abate financial exigency.
Right.
Okay, motion is on the table. Somebody second?
So it's been seconded.
Second discussion.
I suggest a slight change in language.
That's a discussion, change in language.
Yeah, so Axel advises the current leader of the college, COO/CAO, And on January 1st, the president to do that. We're not advising.
And what?
We're not advising Steve Lawrie to do this.
We have two presidents.
No, Steve Lawrie is the interim
president. Oh, I could just put interim president?
There is no Steve Lawrie anymore.
His title was rechanged over the weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Didn't even make it to December.
I thought make it
to oh, he's the president in December.
Okay. Other points of discussion on that motion?
I would just, point of discussion, I think any plan is subject to revision. And the plan that was written in June needs to be revised. I would think that at the minimum, Edsel should review the plan that was written in, under an emergency meeting in the summer without full Edsel attendance.
Mm-hmm. That was a quorum.
I didn't say there wasn't a quorum, but I'm sure it was not a full Edsel. So,
it also, by due process, should have happened before.
Before,
before it was a public thing,
we discussed
process.
It at length. Nobody listened.
It was given to us. It still stands that everyone is fired. So even though the lifting of suspension, you're saying there's no need for that to be changed because everyone is still out. So we don't have.
The boards are giving us a chance and we fail, even though it's a setup for disaster.
And even though we're not allowed to make a new plan. We're stuck with an old plan.
I thought that when you convened the meeting, you said that the agenda for this meeting was to develop a process to implement PC and for developing the petition to the Ohio Board of Regents can be severed from rewriting the letters. And I think that the process to implement is much more important right now, and I believe will lead naturally to revision of the letters as we develop the plan. But I think we should take Andrzej at his word that he came in here looking for developing a process to implement this agreement and to develop the Ohio Board of Regents plan. And I would suggest, Andrzej, that rather than sitting in your office and working on it alone, it would be very helpful to involve people in it. The alumni board presented an elaborate business plan that addressed curriculum and faculty and numbers and is a very solid starting place. I don't think we would be sitting here today if the trustees didn't agree that that was at least a solid starting place. You said that you don't think the Ohio Board of Regents takes pledges. That's nuts. Pledges right. are routine. There is a way of accounting for pledges that is very well recognized. But I think the main part is that we really do need to focus on a process. The faculty have said that they want to retreat a couple of days. I think that would be enormously healthy. But you know, that's for you all to work out. But it seems to me that you started by saying we need a process.
Okay.
Information.
But the agenda actually
doesn't deal with what you said. It deals with the historical process. And so what was on our agenda for this morning, correct me if I'm wrong, but what you're saying is what we should be doing. And so what we should be doing is looking at all these things and saying we need to develop the process. But what actually was on the agenda, which kind of surprised me, was looking at the process that led to this. Instead of saying, we have to...
Because let's deal with the motion. This does not deal with the motion. Ellen is correct that the original intention was to discuss how to implement these decisions.
But But I want to say that it is related to implementation.
Raise the issue that we need to discuss and clarify some issues in that before we get to that, and this is where we are. Out of this discussion, the motion to construct the president comes, and essentially this is what we are following. If anybody else wants to talk to the motion before I speak to the motion? Yes.
I just wanted to respond to Owen's objection to the motion and support it again. But why those letters are important? Because of the suspense in which faculty and students sit in this institution. And there will be either mass exodus or the morale of the faculty is at an incredible rate.
Precisely.
The morale of the students who are making decisions about transfer. These letters are very critical, and that's why I support this motion wholeheartedly. We should have this motion read to the whole faculty today and to the community.
We will appreciate it.
Yes.
Okay. Well, if there's nobody else, let me make a statement. I really would like that to be reflected in the minutes. Number one, the decision to suspend, the decision to impose the state of financial exigency passed in June meeting of the board is still in place. After the decision to impose the conditions of financial exigency was passed by the Board of Trustees, President of the College, as instructed by the Board of Trustees and compelled by the personnel policy, brought the plan with the answer for discussion. At that time, the plan actually was to essentially suspend operation of the college and laid off all the faculty and staff except the necessary staff to maintain the campus. That was the plan. That plan was presented to ASL, and according to the plan policy, appropriate matters were issued to both faculty staff and the union was also important. The process was in place. In the most recent meeting of the board in agreement with this alumni association decided to lift the suspension of operations of the college, yet decided to keep the conditions of financial exigency. These changed conditions lead us to the next step defined in the personnel policy, which is a process of rehiring faculty for the needs, academic needs of the curriculum. This process is described as vaguely as is, implicitly and explicitly in the personnel policy, and we intend to follow that process. This is what the original point I made at the very beginning of the meeting. You heard me, you didn't hear me, but that is what my position on that issue is.
Other questions?
Yes.
Okay, so the thing that seems that's not being defined very carefully is curriculum. And I would like to know if the faculty of the college now, whether we're under exigency or not, has a curriculum at the college that has been circulated by Antioch University staff.
I'm unaware of any curriculum circulated by the Antioch University staff. I'm unaware if there's anything like that exists. For me, we have a curriculum as it is. For me, the curriculum did not change.
Are we in control of the curriculum? Do we get to decide? Does the curriculum committee get to vote on that?
Yes, we are in control of the curriculum. If you read the policy, and its answers are in the personnel policy. In the personnel policy, we have to now form a group. We have curriculum committee. We may add people to the curriculum committee that would describe what the curriculum can we afford to offer to students under new conditions. This is going to be step number one. Step number two would be recommendations that would come to us for discussion in terms of staffing of the curriculum, in terms of the changes in organization, not the curriculum itself, but an organization of the delivery of the curriculum and so on and so forth. And Arthur would recommend to the president that will come with specific recommendations. The needs of the curriculum have to be done in concert with the financial abilities of the fiscal abilities of the college to fund these resources, and we will have a plan. And this is the plan that on which, on the basis of which, we will then write the letters recalling the tenure faculty and the century day. It's a very, very clear process how that may happen. For the next year, that's a very clear indication. This process is spelled out. If you even listen to me, you will hear it.
I agree. Okay? No, I agree with everything you said, except for the last year's plan. But I want to call the question because we have two more motions to vote on.
I also would recommend that you give us a timeline of these things, and also every Addison member needs to receive a copy of the personnel policy. We need these things, and I need to look at them. I can't just hear everything you're saying. So if the next meeting of Addison, you please give us handouts for these things. Give us timelines.
Personnel policy document is not a public document. You can get it. Every faculty member has it.
Can you please deliver the information that Addison needs to us?
Can you call the question on the table? Can we call the question and then bring up other points?
Sure. If there's no further discussion, all in favor of this resolution? Let's pass on to the question. All opposed? All opposed? All abstentions?
Second motion has to do with the recruitment of new students. Instruct the president to immediately put in place a process and the required the staffing to recruit
I'll get to you.
A new class of the students for fall 2008.
We must have to do students. First year students, graduate students, or
well, all of them. Listen, you bring them, you are responsible. You bring them, we will teach them. They could be fourth year students, they could be first year students. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, but
I mean, otherwise,
First year
students. And then there's a lot of
transfers
for.
As
well as being
called to questions and answers. Oh, right. So, Edsel instructs the interim president to immediately put in place the processes and staffing to recruit first year and transfer students for fall of 08.
Yes.
Second.
Third.
It was second. Lots of members first. Anybody want to talk about it?
Yeah, I have just one thing to say.
Okay.
I just wanted to say, really, I know that there are plenty of people that would be more than willing to work on recruitment, which wouldn't necessarily have to be official, and it wouldn't necessarily have to be tied to anyone here. Alumni are in an interesting position because they're not tied to the institution, but they can encourage high school students to apply. And so I think really we just need someone here to accept applications. And it's my understanding that if someone called Antioch, first of all, I don't know if they would even be able to get to a place where someone would answer the phone, but which is a problem. But I don't even know. I mean, if someone called up and said, "Hey, I really want to come to Antioch," they would be told no, and then we wonder why we're in a financial crisis. I mean, that's turning away someone that could potentially be giving $45,000 a year to Antioch, and so I don't know. I think like really the issue is not necessarily recruitment, and when I speak, I hope I'm on the staff, but I do have some things to say about press, and like, I think that also ties into.
Could we just limit?
Yeah, no, I know. I'm
yeah,
saying.
Yeah, you're on the staff for the other.
Okay, but I'm just saying, I really do think that someone needs to be in the position to be accepting applications. If nothing else, just accepting an application, putting it somewhere, in a drawer, I don't know, but, like, having someone to put it in the drawer. I mean...
You need a point person.
Yeah.
Alumni have done marvelous work organizing themselves to help us with admissions,
mm-hmm.
admissions, and we need somebody...
Just one person.
...with a phone number.
Da, 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 da.
But, we noticed yesterday that the Annapolis website, still has the suspension up there on the admissions page that needs to come down.
I instructed them to take it down.
Excellent.
It did not come down. I will monitor it again to get them first class. It's really crazy.
I'd just like to make a point of clarification about the alumni plan for admissions. I was on some of the discussions of surrounding that, and one of the main reasons it says that we're not focused on the first year students is not because we don't want to have first year students, but because one, we didn't want to use our energy on it after the prime recruit decision is passed. Somehow that's turned into we do not want to recruit first-year students. It was just a pragmatic kind of way of framing things. That it would be easier to get transfer students, so that's where we should use our recruit
strategies.
Kind of information.
You don't recruit foreign transfer students unless you have state because they have an enrollment of 40.
We did get 1/3 of the typical entry budget.
That's
not
under our control.
I'm going to reference.
I seconded and I want to support this motion. That's not a simple half measures or volunteer measures, or we accept that we get it and we put it in. I sat on an accrediting team. I went to a university and one of the for the role of accreditation. And one of the things we looked at is how they were going to recruit. They could not yet advertise a company. We had to look at it, but they had everything ready to go and the print button that would say this is going. But part of the condition of accrediting that program was to see that the alumni's agree actually were capable and ready to be rigorous recruited without having some good professional staff here and a will. We say we're not going to recruit, they would not respond, and it's not convincing to anybody that you're a serious institution. And they have to be ready to recruit first year transfer students. Is how do you recruit your student away from another institution?
Sure.
It's the first year for the
team. You want to change the wording of the motion?
Your motion was acceptable, I just don't want it to be interpreted to mean where it's going to be watered down.
Instead of just staffing, professional staffing to vigorously recruit.
Yeah.
I would say that if you did this, it would be a press release announcement going out to the world, saying Antioch College is staying open. Again, saying Antioch, and under our frames, under the college frames, not what the university keeps putting out, not what the service putting out. It's something that we put out, and that is very exciting. That sheds a very positive light on the school and says we are recruiting, we are accepting applications, etc. Being really loud about that is important.
I think there are a number of strategies we could do once we decide to actually do it. Maybe people could talk after the meeting about how to do that. There's a lot of other possibilities besides what we mentioned. But first, we have to agree that that's what we want to do.
Gotcha. All right.
I just want to clarify one thing that came up in the conversation before, because I'm afraid that this could get folded back into it. You're saying that you're promising anyone that's a first year now can go through to get to a 4-year degree here? So you're saying that even with the Ohio Board of Regents' current ruling, that we can't confer degrees. So when you say that, what are you referring to? Are you suggesting that first years could get degrees by finishing at McGregor? Because I this is the one thing that you said that doesn't jive with the possibilities of this motion, and I just want to clarify that.
Well, 2 points of clarification. I start with this one. Because, all right, I made a statement, and that was really an assumption of the discussions of the alumni board, executive committee of alumni board, and the board of trustees. It's kind of a leap of faith, essentially, that we could provide programs for the next year, second year students. The point here is, we'll do the best to do that, and I'm optimistic they will be able to do that. However, you need to remember that if I would authorize anybody to make a presence to list on the web that any other college is actually recruiting students, like a first year student, then we are dead. That would be illegal. I don't know what kind of a legal consequences I would suffer myself, but definitely the college would suffer in a process of review for an extension of the decision. For legal reasons, we cannot do that.
But at some point in the near future,
could I finish, please? Could I please finish?
Sometime in the near future.
Could I please finish? Does this mean that individual did not talk to their friend and say, hey, any other college is open? You may want to look at it. I'm not telling you, I'm not instructing you in any official way. But there is a freedom of speech, so you can say whatever you want. Okay? That is what I could essentially say. Will we be accepting the transfer students? Yes, we are committed, and this is going to be definitely part of the proposal that goes to the Ohio Board of Regents. I don't know what kind of thing. Did I describe the process before? Officially, everybody, right, but we need to determine the process of rehiring people. This is described in the personnel policy, and we are very clear on it.
Can't do that to you. That's not the process.
But just let's, I'm talking about the fact, okay? I'm talking about the fact. The union indeed would have to go with a different topic. But this is what the issue of the question is. Number two, please do not think that in any way I would agree that we do start recruiting with the permission of the authorities about us, that we would do it as a kind of an amateurish process. We are also binded by the rules that govern the admissions people and admissions processes. We don't want to be blacklisted. We would have to have admissions professional or professionals who are dealing with this process. At this particular moment, we have at least the financial aid office that is working. And I am thinking about actually having somebody professional who, when it will come, and I hope soon, would be able to accept applications, would be able to verify the credentials, would be able to do all those things that are necessary to admit the students. I never said that this is not going to happen. If we are saying we will accept students, we have to have a process, people, and offices in place that will do that. That's essentially what I would say. And at the same time, DJ and I am very, very much concerned about the part of the motion discussed about the flexible students that looks like exactly against what the agreement is, and the agreement, as I understand and as I have heard in a room discussed, which essentially is that
the argument says when fiscally and economically feasible and in accordance with the government's standards. Yeah. You have to move to that. What are the standards? And how much are we can negotiate? And this when fiscally and academically feasible, as I said, in 4 days we can sit and evaluate that.
In 4 days, I cannot give you the budget.
So it's not against our agreement?
In 4 days, I cannot give you the budget because at this particular moment, I have a situation as to which the term is financial. And I can tell you, okay, I have to be sure that the budget is going to go through to the
council. That goes back to what Hassan said. It's a moving target. And it's,
it is a moving target. Right, you know, you have to go the budget.
But it's not against this agreement. This agreement allows us to do that. When? But that
win
is up to us.
That win is up to the people to decide about it. We right on the top of the board. We do not decide for it. Had the council decided to go through with the budget, they would have had David Kathy and myself.
Excuse me. I have two things. One is in the amendment, but the first is just a comment. It would seem to me that you would go to the Board of Regents and do a plan that would show how you plan to recruit, because that's kind of showing how you're going to be viable. The recommend, and we've already heard from the alums that it was not their intent that we wouldn't recruit first-year students. We've also heard them say that in their consideration, and certainly in consideration of this fact, that we were already academically feasible. We do have a curriculum. It's viable. It's not only viable, it's never was a point of contention with why students left me. It's never the issue, so it should not be the issue now. But the amendment is saying, simply, as soon as the Board of Regents agrees with the lifting of the suspension, this vigorous recruitment is important for the first year as well as second and fourth quarter.
I accept that amendment, and I want to say that my next move is about the Harvard Board of Regents. I want to insist that we go to the Harvard Board next week. Next week, we have a business plan. We have pledges. We have an academic program. We will have more money this year coming to the institution than we ever had before in the last 20 years.
Well, this is the next motion. That's the size of the business plan. Hassan, did you carefully look at this business plan? All right, Kathy was on the
list. Okay, I have a quick question. Do you happen to know when you're going to be able to file this plan for continued operations? Is that something that is next week,
It's a matter of days. Maybe probably.
It's a short period.
The time. We already had a conversation with the Ohio Board of Regents. Which are, by the way, kind of a difficult nowadays because of the so many calls they were getting before from the idea of constituencies and the relationship. A lot of problems they used to be, but we would have to overcome that.
Okay, can I add a
This has to be very friendly.
I think it's friendly. Why don't we say something to the effect that the president will submit a operations to the Ohio Board of Regents so as to extend operations beyond 12/31/08, and as soon as the Board of Regents agrees to extend a degree granting certification authority or whatever, then your piece.
I have to talk to you about this. I think we need to have a process in place like a month ago, for recruiting the students for next year. And we can always make that condition upon the reapproval vote. But if we don't, if we put that aside and wait for the Ohio, it will come, and it could come in February, then we won't have any students next year. And that's why I have a separate motion that the president, by next week, should bring a plan to Axel that would go to Ohio Board of Regents asking for reinstitution of the authority of the college to grant the degree and credits. And if we have all the elements of that plan in place, and we need to put it together. and we'll be happy to help you.
Julian.
Can I read that motion one more time? Acton instructs the interim president to immediately put in place processes and professional staffing to vigorously recruit first-year and transfer students for Fall 08. And for the reapproval of the Board of Trustees to grant degrees and improve credits. Board of Regents.
This evening, that first year students in Antioch College will have the opportunity to graduate from Antioch College. That provides stability to our institution. I don't believe that is a leap of faith. I believe that's the leadership. And I believe that that same leadership is needed to recruit first year students next year. Otherwise,
okay.
I call the question.
All in favor? All opposed? All abstained? Everybody. One abstention. We'll have the meeting. We'll continue the meeting next year.
We are about to miss an opportunity to save the institution.
Are you kidding? We can't wait a week.
Andre, this is the best signal to the community that we care. So tomorrow morning.
Want to go to class?
Well, that's fine. Tomorrow we meet. It's a marathon meeting of ATSE. What's wrong with that?
All right. What's that?
I think that we're not understanding where you're coming from in some ways. Because I feel like we're all in agreement that this place is not going to be around if we can't do X, Y, and Z. Things that we're laying out right now, if we can't do these first years. And
Julian, yes. Your perception. Yes.
My perception.
The Board of Trustees resolution was to appoint you as the interim president of Antioch College. Now, because the Antioch University is non-profit organization corporation, as an entity, the non-profit organization corporation has to have a president. The president of only one person, but the president of the corporation is the chancellor of the university. And all presidents serve as the vice president of the corporation, that means the hiring or any of the university. This is essentially related to the legal status of any of the university and the legal requirements that are derived from the chapter that is approved. That's all what it is. At this moment, I'm still the chief academic officer, yes, but that is something that I need to sort out. And by the way, that speedy process, for God's sake, the decision was made this weekend. And, you know, I couldn't work on things that you want 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago, we didn't know where we'd go.
And you did all the plan for admissions, right?
Angie and the Board of Alumni did develop some plan for admissions.
Great. We received that plan over email this afternoon.
It's on the website.
I don't
know. Where on the website?
Court.
Is Steve still on administrative leave?
That's right.
Okay, but I'm sorry, then we were elected because in the ad zone we discussed this at first, we said we couldn't have an interim president because we already had a president who was on administrative.
But
so
now
we
have two
presidents.
Interim, you can have interim.
You can act.
So
we were told originally we couldn't have an interim president, and that's why we had a CEO.
Don't ask me those questions. This is really what the board decided, and they have their legal counsel.
So I'm just asking.
I can ask the board. We'll be in February.
Do we have a meeting tomorrow morning at 8?
Yes, we have a meeting tomorrow.
We deal with White House tomorrow morning.
Yes.
Can you bring some information about what we want? We should give the board as a region by tomorrow morning.
Folks, Andrea, I need also information about, I suppose that you are going to do the leadership, which is different, hopefully, from the previous one. So, we need to talk about that. If you have any suggestions, talk about the new leadership.
We have the and I don't tend to change much in the
well, then we need to go to close meeting because there are some serious questions about the previous leadership.
Just one suggestion for
let David say something.
You can also offer help. Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. See you tomorrow. The meeting is not adjourned.
She's not
going to be
two people.
And don't forget, it's election day.
Yeah, please vote. Elections are very close in this time.
So maybe I can talk about
Is that, do you want to get to your old mail or your new mail?
I don't know. What do you need?
I just need,
the 30 new ones? Because we need to get that shit up. Plus the trustees. They need to get
the
shit.
Yeah, well, I'm going to put the trustees, too.
Oh, and now I have to log in with my code?
Yeah.
God.
I know. They hate us.
And then what's my password?
Your same old password.
That is my. Okay, well, that's the same then.
That's not for everybody, but for you, I guess it is.